Good morning to each of you and greetings in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Why do we do that? I thought about that in relation to the last question we talked about in the Sunday school lesson about the significance of the name of Jesus. We often open a service in the name of Jesus. Why do we do that? Is that just tradition or habit or why? Well, the scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered, he said, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So why wouldn't we open a service in the name of Jesus? We anticipate and believe his presence is with us. And another thought, too, in relation to that is in relation to our prayers. Most of our prayers we end with, in Jesus' name we pray. Again, that's not just a tradition, that's not just a habit, but there's a reason for that. It's because it's only through Christ, our mediator, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, that we even have the right or the access to pray. And so we end our prayers. We ought to think about it more often. It's not just a ritual, but in the name of Christ or the name of Jesus, we pray. We are acknowledging who he is and our ability to enter into the presence of a holy God ourselves in prayer through him. So this morning, let's continue to appreciate the change, the healing, and all that happens in our lives because of the name of Jesus. We are no more lame, but we can rise up and we can walk. In relation to the message this morning, it has been said, you probably have heard this, there are three types of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. I think if you boil that down, that's pretty accurate. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Now, I know we would all like to say that we're the first one. We are the kind of person that makes things happen. I think, at least for myself, that I've been in all three situations already. I think sometimes I've been involved in making things happen, and sometimes that wasn't even the right thing to be doing. But some things happened that probably shouldn't have happened, but I was the one that made them happen. But then there's also the thing of, I've been in situations where I was watching things happen. I know that, for instance, Brother George last Sunday was talking about steam and the power of steam, and I know that he's a power engineer. So he has experience and training to be a power engineer, so he understands some things about steam that I don't understand. I get called sometimes into situations where I, in our steam boiler, that it's just best if I just watch things happen because I'm not trained to that. I don't make things happen. It's a situation where you say sometimes proverbially that you want to keep your shoelaces tied up. So I've been in situations years ago, it wasn't steam, that was hot oil in our Kona system where I used to work up north. And we used to have this saying that if the power goes off and that standby cooling pump doesn't start, you got to have your shoes tied tight because you're going to have to run. You need to run really fast because something is going to blow up. It never happened, but in our sight. But so what I'm saying is, there's times that you watch things happen, but I think I've also been in situations where, I wondered what happened. You think about an accident that happens sometimes. I remember being involved in a head-on collision I was a passenger that time years ago, before our son Nelson was born. I was dozing off asleep when the accident happened, so when I regained consciousness, I was trying to figure out what had happened. It's just an illustration. But anyway, these three groups of people, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Now this morning I would like to think a little bit differently, though, of a general grouping of people. And this isn't so much now those three. Those are interesting things to think about. But I would like to think about just two groups of people. And again, this is a generality. But the two groups of people that we'd like to think about for a while this morning is those who live intentionally and those who live passively. So the title of the message this morning is Intentional or Passive? Intentional or Passive? Now, while there are also applications of all aspects of life in these two groupings, I would like this morning, this is not a motivational speech, but as more as it applies to the principles in our spiritual lives. I've been thinking about this, I think, throughout the whole week, this week, of how this fits into my life and how it fits into our lives in relation to whether I am living intentionally or passively. As we go through this, I think you'll understand more how it applies in our lives. I'd like to look at three scriptures. First of all, these would just be samples of scriptures that we could turn to where this idea, this thought of whether we're intentional or whether we're passive about our life. Turn with me, first of all, to Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus is here talking to the Pharisees in relation to their experience and not being able to serve two masters. That's in verse 13. And we have verse 14, the Pharisees derided him. And when they heard what he had to say. And then he talks about, in verse 15, about them justifying themselves. But the thought I would like to pick up is in verse 16. Where Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, in looking at that, what Jesus was saying is that there is effort put into those who are entering into the kingdom of God. Every man presseth into it. There is effort. Do you think that a person who takes a casual, indifferent, passive approach to their Christian life will finally make it into the kingdom of God? Or is it going to take some effort? Is it going to take some diligence? Is it going to take some fighting in relation to sin for us to enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus said here that every man presseth into it, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So he's telling us that there's something here that in relation to spiritual life, in relation to entering into the kingdom of God, that those who enter into this kingdom are going to be intentional. They intend to do this, and they live their lives intentional and not passive. I'd like to turn now to the Old Testament, Esther chapter 4. You know the story of Queen Esther, and it's a beautiful story, the working of God for his people. But I'd like to jump into this story in chapter 4, and notice verse 10. We know that Esther was now queen, and she had already had an audience with the king, And the Haman had also had already put into motion the edict that the Jews were going to be killed on a certain day. Now, in this chapter 4 here in verse 10, we have that the writing was signed and it was in place. And the copy of the writing of the decree went out, was given at Shushan the palace in verse 8 to destroy them. And Mordecai made sure that the word went to Esther in the palace. We have that in verse 9, and Hadesh came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Now verse 10, again, Esther spake unto Hadesh and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, and all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come in unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except to such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. In other words, under Persian law, to walk into the anteroom, we could say, or the entrance to the throne room, to do that without being called, you did it under sentence of death. Unless the king held out the golden scepter to you and spared your life. So, in other words, you better have an appointment. You better have an audience. You better have a request to show up there. Without that request, and you went into that little room ahead of entering into the throne room, it was a death sentence. That's what she is saying here. Except the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. I don't have an invitation. I do this at the threat of my life. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai's wise words were, don't think that because you're the queen that you're going to somehow escape this killing of the Jews that is put in place by Haman. She could have taken the passive approach and said, well, what can I do? You know, maybe it'd be okay. I'll be safe here in the palace. And what could I do for my people? Mordecai says, don't think that way. It's not going to work. Don't think that you're going to escape if you take this passive approach. He said, because you and your father's house are also going to be destroyed. And he says, who knoweth but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is a time to be intentional. This is a time to act with purpose. This is a time to do the hard thing and do what needs to be done. Now verse 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That was the intent, was to do what she could do for the good of God's people, for the good of her people. And she did that. She refused to take a passive position. Now, I'd like to turn to a more familiar scripture yet. That is Philippians 3. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who was a man that was not passive in living out his Christian life. Philippians 3 and verse 7. He talks in the beginning of this chapter, the verses before this, about his, you could say, religious pedigree in relation to being an Israelite and all that went with that, a Pharisee, and his zeal. He was intentional, even if it was misdirected. But now verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. Notice his intent here. He's not passive at all. He said, I'm living an intentional life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, if I can just follow through on this until the day that my body is raised from the grave, the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, that's my intent, and that's the way I'm living. It was not passive at all. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, or understand, comprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't attained yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Intentional. We see that here in verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what is intentional versus passive? These scriptures have already introduced us to these ideas, these thoughts. And we know that intentional, as we're using the word, does not simply mean good intentions, as we talk about sometimes. But the idea of the word, as we're using it, intentional, means that there is a reason, there is a purpose, there is an energy that goes into our lives that we are exerting because we are staying focused on the goal. We are staying focused on what it takes to achieve that goal. And so this morning, intentional living is knowing what our beliefs are. And this morning, if we do not know what our goal is in life, we are passive. Now, you can boil it down and say, well, yes, okay, I want to attain heaven. But that's in the future. Well, what about right now in relation to my desire to please Christ, my desire to serve Christ in his kingdom right now? That's what is in focus. If we don't take that serious, we're going to fail. Because Jesus talks about, those who are those servants who are not taking seriously, and doing what needs to be done right now. We know what happened in the parable of the 10 virgins, and the outcome of that. Those who said, well, we have time, the bridegroom's coming. Yes, we know Christ is returning, but we got time. In the meantime, they ran out of oil. And so it's good to have the intentional goal of making heaven, dying in Christ, attaining to the resurrection of the dead. That's a That's a good goal. It's important. But that in itself is not going to get us through to that time unless we are living intentionally now in relation to the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, and what it means to be a Christian right now today. And so we need to know what our goal is, know what our beliefs are. He said, well, I believe the scriptures. I believe our confession of faith. We were going over that this morning with the instruction class in relation to our standards, our statement of belief. And you think about that, and we need to understand that as an embodiment of truth, that the scriptures teach us that we have an obligation and a responsibility to live out and to follow. The idea of intentional living is the living with a purpose. Sometimes we use that word, purpose. And that is also a part of this intentional living. It is living with the intent to follow God's will, to purpose that each day of my life, when I get up in the morning, do I again reaffirm, as it were, my commitment to live for Christ again today? Maybe we don't verbalize it. Maybe we don't necessarily even think it in a sense, but really that needs to be the hallmark of every Christian, that today is another day to serve my God, another day to serve Christ in whatever I'm doing, whatever I run into, whatever situation I find myself, that today is another day of service for my Lord. Living with the intent to follow God's will. It also involves making whatever sacrifices are needed to achieve that purpose. It's intentional. I believe this. This is my goal. This is the purpose of my life. This is what God wants me to do. And so I get up in the morning and I live in that reality because I'm going to make the sacrifices that are needed to attain that goal. It is also living by the facts. Living by the facts. The truth. Of this is how it is. And the absolutes, of course, of Scripture. These things do not change. They're facts. And we can get sidetracked from that. I'll talk about that in a minute. But exerting ourselves and putting energy into living for others is also a part of intentional living. That it is part of our outlook. It is part of our psyche as we respond to situations, that it's intentional. It's intentional. We talked about in the Sunday school lesson about, you know, looking for opportunities and seeing opportunities, like Peter and John going up to the temple in the ninth hour and finding the lame man there. You say, well, it was, you know, from a purely materialistic standpoint, it was coincidental. No, it was not coincidental at all. It was arranged by sovereign God, you know, that they would meet at that moment, in that time, and there was an opportunity. So Peter and John, it was intentional living. It was not passive. So it's exerting ourselves and putting energy into living for others. I think another part of intentional living as a Christian is thinking ahead and planning for spiritual success. You know, in relation to, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit later, but in relation to living victoriously in our Christian lives, it's going to take intentional living. If we take a passive approach, we are going to fall into temptation and in snares and all kinds of things that will drag us down into spiritual bondage. But intentional living means, as a Christian, means that we're thinking ahead and we're planning for spiritual success. We don't just wander into situations, you know, haphazardly, but we're thinking ahead and we're planning. Now, I would like to, right with that now, talk a little bit about what is passive living. Passive living is the opposite, of course, in some ways, but the word passive itself means indifferent. Or you could say, sometimes we use the word nonchalant, which means that it's sort of indifferent. It's just passive. It's just like I don't really take it serious. It just happens what happens, and we just deal with it as it comes. The word passive living is not staying focused on God's will for your life. It is a passive approach in that, well, you know, we just things just happen. And we talk about, you know, all the negative things that happen to us. So we take a negative mentality. It is also not having purpose in life. That relates to this whole idea of God's will. If we're a passive person in relation to our Christian life and our living, why then we don't really have a purpose. We just kind of are wandering through life and sort of just bouncing from circumstance to circumstance and don't really know where we're going, and or at least not very clearly, and just don't really have a purpose. That's being passive. It can involve dreaming of some perfect set of circumstances. Sometimes individuals get into bad mindsets and bad thinking habits where they're always dreaming of all these, this perfect situation and all the, this perfect circumstances, you know, that if my life was like that, then all it would just be so good. That's passiveness. You're not going to get there by dreaming of some sort of circumstance that is going to all... Now, you can talk about heaven or talk about that, but you know, we're not going to attain that if we're taking that passive, indifferent approach. We need to be focused on what is now and being intentional and take a hold of our situation. Yes, there are circumstances that we cannot control, many of them, that are brought into our lives by the sovereign hand of God. But one thing we can control, and that is our response to them and what we do with them and where we go with circumstances and situations, and whether we allow it to make us passive and indifferent and negative, or whether we allow it to be a stepping stone and to realize that God has a purpose in it, and it's my responsibility to find that purpose, you know, and to move through whatever difficulty it may be for His honor and glory. That's intentional living and not being passive. It is not putting thought and energy into living for others. This is also part of passive living, where what happens is that you know, there's that inward look, you know, and my struggles and my problems and my difficulties and all the things that I have to face. That's passive, that because it's an inversion of our outlook, and therefore we will surely become depressed, you know, when we have that as our focus. But rather, of course, on the positive side, is when we put that energy and reach out to others. And, you know, when we least feel like it, sometimes is the best time to do it, because that's what we need, is to reach beyond ourselves, get our focus off ourselves, do some intentional living, some intentional giving into someone else's life and boost them up. And we always will find that it solves a lot of our struggles when we do that. And so with that, that is involved in this, in the energy, putting energy into living for others. Another part of passive living is following our feelings instead of the facts. Now, earlier we talked about that intentional living is going on the facts. This is how it is. This is the reality of it. If we're passive, we're going to be the kind of person that is going to be following the feelings. And you know how our feelings are, up and down. Sometimes we feel like one thing, one way. Sometimes we feel a little differently about something. But if we're passive in our outlook, in our living, we're just going to be bouncing off our feelings instead of following the facts. Also, right with this is not thinking ahead and planning for spiritual success. Again, this is just opposite of intentional living. But passive living is not thinking ahead and planning for spiritual success. And so passive living is just kind of going through life and not really paying attention to the dangers and the pitfalls and the snares. And we bounce from, you know, one bad temptation to another temptation, and we just don't really pay attention of how we got to where we are. You know, that's passiveness in relation to our Christian life. It's not intentional. We're going to talk a little bit about it later probably, but I'd like to mention it here now. You think about the life of Joseph, especially when he was there in Potiphar's house. If Joseph had been passive about his relationship to God, in that situation in Potiphar's house, would have he had the strength to resist that temptation from Potiphar's wife? I don't think he would have. He was not passive. He was intentional. When that came, and he did something about it the first time, but then the day came when he was by himself in the house, and no other servants were there. And he left his coat and he fled. Why? Because he was a young man that lived intentionally. He knew what his reaction was going to be and needed to be in that situation. It was planned ahead. You say, well, did he actually plan it ahead? No, not directly of the details of it. But he planned ahead because he kept his respect and fear of Almighty God clear in his mind. And when that moment of temptation came, it was no question of what he was going to do. He left his coat and he fled. You see the difference between passive versus intentional. And if I don't come back to it later in the message, but for all of us, and especially our young people, it's so important to understand the need to live intentionally. To have these situations clear, right and wrong. So that we, like Joseph, can say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He kept the whole line of sin clear so that he would not cross it in that moment of temptation. So not thinking ahead and planning ahead for spiritual success is part of a passive mindset. It's like bumping along, as we said before, from crisis to crisis. Or like we say sometimes, you know, bouncing from snowbank to snowbank. Passive. Out of control, really. Now, none of us, I believe, are either intentional or passive all the time and in every circumstance. There's situations, parts of our lives where we're probably fairly intentional, but there could be areas of our life that are more passive, where we are more passive. And so it doesn't necessarily apply across the board that we are 100% one or 100% the other. All of us face various aspects of this, especially in different circumstances. I would like to think now for the rest of the message on what is intentional Christian living. Just to make this more practical, what is intentional Christian living? And are you an intentional Christian, or are you a passive Christian? Am I a passive Christian or an intentional Christian? First of all, in our Christian life, so I can think of a few things in relation to intentional Christian living. It's going to mean putting energy into my relationship with God. It's intentional. It's not passive. Now, how many of you have ever missed your devotions, your personal devotions and prayer life? How many of you ever missed a day or so? What happens to us if we continue that trend? You know, we say sometimes, why all the emphasis on personal devotions, personal worship with God? Why all the emphasis on that? What happens to us when we lose that? That in itself is not going to save us of itself. And neither would I say this morning that it's the mark of either a really good Christian or a really weak Christian necessarily, at least not to the fullest extent. But at the same time, don't we kind of use it as a marker of my relationship to God? Okay, you miss a day or something. I mean, it happens. I struggle with it the same as you do. But it is still a marker that we use to gauge, isn't it, our relationship with God. And so if that trend continues in our life as a Christian, and I've been there. I remember when I was, 17, 18, I went through a dry period of my life, a desert time, where I know that my relationship with God kind of fell apart. I just wasn't putting any energy into it. Can't say that I was really gotten into a lot of sin or anything. But I just wasn't putting any effort into it. I was not living intentionally and just passive. And I had to do some real repenting and restore that relationship. I remember that with, very distinct in my mind, that experience. For months, I just wasn't what I should have been. Until you come to grips with that. So in relation to devotional life and putting that energy into my relationship with God, you see, it's not so much that exactly which passage I read each night or morning whenever you have your devotional. That's not really as important as it is of showing my diligence and my intentional living in relation to my worship with my God. Now, it's not just devotional life. We don't want to overemphasize that because I believe that our life overall should be a devotional life. And you've heard me say it many times, I know, but that continuous conversation with God throughout the day. Someone said to me at work here, it's probably a couple years ago right now, oh, that's an awful long way to drive to work. I said, how long does it take to drive to work? I said, well, usually it's 17 to 18 minutes. And it's longer than what it probably could be. But you know, I have found that it's also a time where I can commune with God. Not that I do it every time, but all the time. But I have found it's a wonderful opportunity to drive up the valley, enjoy the creation, worship my God, communicate with Him. There's always things come to your mind. Often think about the congregation. Maybe it's just one of my good intentions, but sometimes I think about, I should text the brethren just to, give them encouragement or tell them I prayed for them again this morning. I don't usually get that done, but I guess that was not intentional enough for it to happen, but. And I'm not holding myself up. I'm just telling you what I find. And what happens when I don't do it? My mind gets cluttered with a lot of other things. And so it is putting energy into our relationship with God. Another part of this is thinking through and evaluating our choices. Remember that life is made up of choices. Made up of choices. And you think about intentional versus passive, and the fact that throughout our lives we are making a lot of choices. If we're not living intentional Christian lives in our spiritual relationship, there's going to be more and more of those choices that are going to be wrong, or at least they're not going to be the best for us. That could be part of a path away from God. You know how it is. You start to lose that thrill of salvation and worship You know, and you start making little choices just along the way. And you can wake up one day and find out, how did I get here? Because life is choices. And we need to understand and therefore evaluate our choices. And whether we're just passive, just deal with it as it comes along and just it is what it is. Or, again, whether we're intentional, knowing what we believe, knowing what our goal is and what God wants of us. It relates to reflecting also on how I relate to others, whether we're intentional or passive. If we're hasty in our speech, it's probably because we're passive. If we're more careful, it's probably because we're intentional. And so that's something to think about. Also, another part of Christian living is, you know, whether we are intentional in our witness. I find that in my life, many times I have failed in this, of not being as intentional about my witness and what I would say or what I would do in certain situations. And I know what it feels like and the horrible feeling in my heart of having walked away from a beggar that I should have helped. And the look in that person's eyes. Why I didn't do it? Because I think I was just being passive in relation to my outreach. I was not intentional. And so given that situation and the spur of the moment, I made the wrong choice. I have to ask God to forgive me. Well, we talked about how we face temptation there in the story of Joseph, and how that he was not passive in the face of that temptation. I'd like to think about in home life, intentional or passive in home life, in our marriages. You know how it's been for those of us who have been married for some years? Understand this. You know, in relation to intentional or passive. You know, the unselfish sharing and caring for each other takes effort. At first, you know, in marriage, and we call it the honeymoon period of time, it doesn't take that effort that it takes later. That's where the deep commitment is, because we're past the feelings in the same way, and we deal with more facts. But building and maintaining that strong relationship is important. We have to be intentional in our marriages and not passive. And this means that, and I'm bad for this, I admit this, you know, at times, you know, just thinking of something special to do for my wife, to show her my love and kindness in a special way that means something to her. Not what my idea would be of something special, but her idea of something special. You see, it's intentional versus passive. Taking enough time in the busyness of life and sharing and caring. You know, I had a man tell me some years ago who was telling me about they were getting divorced. And he said, I really don't know what happened. He said, we never had a bad word with each other. We always got along. But he said, I guess in the busyness of our lives, we just drifted apart. And we drifted apart to the point that there was nothing left between us. Isn't that sad? You say, that's passive. It's not intentional. Well, there's also intentional parenting. What is our goal for our children? As parents, we can't afford to be passive in those years of child training and guidance, molding their lives. Are we intentional in helping them reach their goals so that they can be useful men and women for God? If we are passive, we really will just be crisis parenting. Well, a little like I talked about before, we'll be bouncing from snowbank to snowbank, as it were, in our parenting. Just crisis management. And I've been there. I know the feeling of it when you feel like all you're doing is just putting out the fires, just solving the crises. There's some days we go through that. But to work beyond that, and so that it is not just a passive approach, understanding what is needed, reading the needs of our families, our children. Part of this also is in relation to intentional parenting is, you know, planning projects ahead would be an illustration to keep the children busy, profitably occupied. There's so much power in that proactive approach, you know, so that we don't have to deal with a crisis on our hands or we're confronted with this decision. You know, they're asking, well, can I do this or can I do that? And I want to go here or I want to go there. When if we were just back up and be more intentional and not passive, we would have had something planned. You know, we would have had something profitable for them to do. And we would have diverted, you know, that whole crisis situation of us trying to decide and dealing with a crisis because, you know, we were behind the curve, as it were. It takes a lot of work in intentional parenting. I just want to encourage you as parents in that. What does it mean as a youth this morning, as a young person, in relation to whether you are intentional or are you passive? What are your goals for your life? And I know young people aren't too eager to just spill all those dreams and goals out to everybody, but we know what they are in general. We've all been there not that many years ago. We know a lot more what goes through your minds than what you think, probably, or maybe what it feels like sometimes. But think about it in relation to your goals for your life and what you want your life to become as a Christian and serving God. And then, of course, the question is, in light of those goals, are you living your life, your Christian life, intentionally or passively? Do you think you'll ever reach those goals if you're passive about it? And with that, do you make your plans around spiritual things that are important? Again, intentional Christian living. This isn't just for older people. This is for young people too, as you are setting the foundation for your life. What about your, you know, in relation to making your plans around spiritual things? Do you plan for your worship of God? Do you plan for your worship of God? Remember, my father grew up in a church setting where there was a lot of, it was more like an old order type setting. It wasn't really old order, but more like that type of setting. Older people all sat up front. Young people sat in the back. There was a lot of older young people that never made a commitment that could be very disturbing in the services at times. And my father talked about him and his brothers sitting more toward the back, not all the way, but of course they wanted to be with their peers, right? You sit with the young people and they'd sit in the back. And my father talks about a time that, and I can believe this because I knew my grandfather fairly well, he said they were in their early teens and sitting back there, and some of the older boys that were wild, were quite wild, they would come into the back of the church and sit there behind these younger boys, and they'd take cigarette lighters and burn their ears, lobe of their ears during the service and stuff like that. Of course, you know how the boys are, they don't want to complain to their dad too much, but finally what got bad enough, they complained to their dad one time. So the bishop's sons were some of the worst, sad to say, in that setting. But my grandfather, my dad always said his answer was very simple and very short. You know what he said? Move further front. Not that he didn't recognize the spiritual need of that group of boys. In other words, be intentional. He said, just move further front. You know, and what I'm, the reason I point that out is in relation to our planned, in relation to our worship. So if there's a disturbance, that's, in that case, move further front. Now, there'd be other ways in which we could think about this. You know, sometimes it's a struggle on weekends, you know, and maybe being out late too long on Saturday night, and then struggling to stay awake, you know, on a Sunday morning, when it's simply because I was passive about my worship. I didn't plan properly for Sunday morning. I allowed whatever happened on Saturday evening to interfere with my worship Sunday morning. Just an illustration. Intentional versus passive. As you think about your future as a young person, you know, and it's on every normal young person's mind about finding a marriage partner, I'd like to give you a few things to think about on this. I think if you're passive, you will be thinking a lot about who it might be and finding the right person. That's a passive approach. If you're intentional in relation to this, you will be spending your time, more of your time, most of your time, working to become the right person rather than finding the right person. That would be the difference between intentional versus passive. I feel sorry at times when I've seen young people spoil their lives by being so captivated and engrossed in trying to find the right person that they failed to be the right person, and their marriages did not end up so happy because they failed in that very basic principle. We need to remember that life is made up of choices. Life is made up of choices. Are we intentional in our lives, or are we passive? There'll be a lot of other things that we could talk about in relation to these thoughts that we could apply in a lot of different ways. I would like to close with Paul's message, Paul's testimony. 1 Corinthians 9, just turn with me to this passage. 1 Corinthians 9. In verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Does that give you a picture of someone who is passive or someone who is intentional? If you're running a race, do you know which way you're supposed to go? Do you know where the goal is? Do you know how far it is to get there? Paul said that we're running a race. So run that ye may obtain. Now look what he says in verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, in other words, striveth for the prize, the trophy, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He's likening it to the Olympic races and to the Olympic wrestling matches, the Olympic Games. He said every sportsman, every person that's striving to win that trophy is temperate in all things. In other words, he's going to do what it takes, discipline himself, and just do whatever it takes in that exercise, in that push, in that drive to have his body in shape to accomplish and win in this game, to get that trophy. But it's all corruptible. He said, we're doing it in a spiritual race because our crown is not going to be that little olive wreath like the Greek Olympians would wear, which is what he would have been referring to, but our crown is the crown of eternal life and blessing that is never corrupted. And then he says in verse 26, I therefore so run. Is that intentional or is it passive? Paul didn't say, I therefore so walk. That's good to walk, and he talks about walking. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In other words, Paul is saying here, not with uncertainty of where I'm going and what I'm doing. I'm not passive about this. I'm intentional about it because this is a race. Not just to win an earthly crown or a trophy, but he's, you know, this is a race between myself and the devil to obtain and outrun him, as it were, and win that crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Now he switches the metaphor, and he says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now he's talking about the wrestling or the boxing matches. How are you going to win in a boxing match if all your punches land on air? That's really what he's saying. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. You miss every time. You don't land that punch spiritually because you can't be passive. We have to be intentional. We have to know what we're doing and how we're going to get there and how we're going to win. I was thinking about this early this morning. I was wondering in my own life how many times all I was doing was punching the air spiritually. I keep under my body. In other words, I'm training my body and bringing it into subjection. Make my aim count. Practice. Mature in my spiritual fight so that my body responds and I know how to aim and land those punches, as it were, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This morning, are you passive or are you intentional? May God help us to understand the need of our own heart. And when we see that passive mindset creeping in, that we take that discipline to heart and understand what it's going to take for us to arrive safe on yonder shore. Let's bow for prayer.